This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. New details in the FBI raid this week of a Manhattan apartment owned by the founder of online betting forum Polymarket. ABC's Aaron Katursky says Shane Copeland's attorneys are accusing the government of playing politics.
Polymarket said it's political because they think, since Polymarket accurately predicted the results of the presidential race, that somehow this is a partisan effort. We'll see how far it goes. And with the administration about to change, whether the investigation continues.
Florida's governor calling for a special election to fill the seat of former Congressman Matt Gaetz. He resigned after President-elect Trump nominated him to be attorney general. Bipartisan lawmakers say he faces an uphill battle for Senate confirmation due to ethics investigation into sexual misconduct in the House. Olympic skier Lindsey Vonn announcing she's coming out of retirement. The 40-year-old and three-time Olympic medalist says she plans to rejoin the U.S. ski team 6 years after competing in her final Olympics. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Republican U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde says he'd lost the election. The statement comes a day after Hovde released a video questioning the integrity of last week's election. Speaking on WISN Radio Wednesday, Hovde admitted to losing the election, but did not concede to incumbent Democrat Tammy Baldwin. He'll have until the end of next week to request a recount once the official canvassing is done. Wisconsin Senate Minority Leader Diane Hesselbein says Hovde should just concede and stop playing games. The first electric charging stations are going online at Quick Trip. The company announced Wednesday that a set of chargers has been installed in West Salem and that the system will run off a new app called Quick Charge. The stations will offer plugs for both major vehicle standards and can charge at 150 kilowatts. The effort matches a push for expanded electric vehicle service in Wisconsin, which has seen fewer charging installations than other states. That makes it hard to travel to rural parts of the state. Viterbo University announced another round of cuts, this time affecting 13 people. 9 faculty will not have their contracts renewed after next spring, while 4 staff members will be let go after December 6th. Viterbo officials said that declining enrollment means they don't need as many employees. Enrollment has fallen by about a quarter in the past 5 years. In June, Viterbo cut 25 positions as the university faced a $5.5 million budget deficit. Viterbo officials said they will need to make more cuts by 2026.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
It's Packers and Bears week. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers held practice getting ready for the Bears in Chicago Sunday. Even though the Packers have beat the Bears 10 times in a row, I asked Jordan Love if there's still a rivalry.
Definitely. No, we know the history of the game, and it's definitely, I think it's special to be a part of it. A rivalry that's been going on, the oldest rivalry in football.
In Chicago, Bears head coach Matt Eberflus fired his offensive coordinator.
In the past 48 hours, working through some things and obviously released Shane Waldron. What I'm looking for, the offense, is creativity, working the guys into open positions on the field. But that takes creativity, but it takes everybody.
Pass coordinator Thomas Brown promoted to offensive play caller. NBA, the Bucks with a 127-120 win in overtime against the Pistons. Damian Lillard out with a concussion. Giannis with 59 points.
Not only did Giannis have to score, he actually had to be a point guard as well.
That's Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Stuck under overcast and cloudy skies today, but temperatures remain mild, with highs reaching the low 50s and overnight lows staying above freezing to the upper 30s. Tomorrow's the day the sunshine makes a return, and high temperatures stick with where they are in the low 50s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 51 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would
pay. Yeah, let's redirect here because this could go bad.
Yeah, this guy, I think it already has.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, Earl Ingram Jr. joins me. Will Eric Hovde ever concede? And we'll do a rundown of Trump's current cabinet picks. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Talking in my sleep at night, making myself crazy.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You tune into the Civic Media Radio Network for, of course, real news and great conversation. I can't wait to talk with my next guest. Her name is Hannah Fried. She's a voting rights and election law expert and the executive director of the nonpartisan voting rights organization, All Voting is Local. So happy to have you, Hannah. Help us understand. What do we do next, Hannah? Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be on. You know, look, I think it is only natural to think about the election in terms of the results and the presidential election and who got what and who won what seat and all that kind of stuff. And of course, I'm a citizen of this country and I'm interested in that too. But I think, you know, for us as an organization that is focused on the experience that people have when they register, when they vote, when they try to cast a ballot and whether it's going to count, you know, the story for us of the election cycle is, and frankly, as it has been for the last few years, one of incredible resilience. Mm-hmm. I think we saw voters from Georgia to Pennsylvania to Wisconsin. And yes. I'm talking here about Wausau up north, where I spent some time back in my youth. Voters not just casting their ballots, but actually demanding that officials make it possible for them to do so. In Wausau, it was about a ballot drop box. Voters wanted to be able to return, to be able to vote in the way that it made sense for them. And they called on officials to allow them to do so. And I think that is something we saw replicated, as I said, in states across the country where we work on the ground in communities. And I think it is really a story that I hope we hear more and more about as we reflect back on 2024.
No doubt. And here are some things to give people, I don't want to call it hope, but just like, hey, the context matters here. I think people have been there again. A lot of freaking out. But here's what. In the state of Wisconsin, we had 100,000 more people vote this past cycle than in the last presidential election. That's a good thing, right? In Wisconsin, the margins were incredibly razor thin. People ballot split. They were looking at different candidates in different races. This wasn't just knee jerk. And again, more people turning out, all to the betterment. The interesting thing to me, Hannah, and it's a big picture question, is this. There has been such focus on election processes, right? And will the election outcomes be respected? And of course, Wisconsin, we've got our little Eric Hovde stunt going on over here. And he is statutorily entitled to ask for a recount, which I have no problem with. I think it's actually a good thing that helps increase voter confidence in election outcomes, because recounts never change the outcomes. You just count the votes again. There's tiny little adjustments and then it's the same outcome. Thanks much. I do object, of course, to him lying and trading in conspiracy theories. But all of this aside, here's what's been occurring to me. And that is all of this focus on election processes, recounts, all of this sort of conspiracy theory stuff going on about election processes. When fundamentally, in a really basic way, I've been suggesting or thinking a bit that one of the metrics by which we can measure the health of a democracy is whether or not we see laws and policies that reflect the vast consensus that it, like the vast plurality of American viewpoint on a few things. And I'll point to these three things: abortion and reproductive freedoms. The vast majority of us agree about that, and yet our laws don't reflect that in many states and in the Supreme Court. That to me seems like a democracy miss. Second part, taxing the rich more and billionaires and the richest corporations more. The vast majority of us agree with that. We don't see that happening. And then third, it's like 90% of us when poll, depending on the poll, 80 to 90% of us want a constitutional amendment to take money out of politics. And yet we don't see any movement on that. So as a voting rights and election process and law expert, how do you view the health of a democracy? How do you take a look at this from a really high level? Because I have always had an incredibly high level of faith and confidence in election processes and the people on the ground that do this every single day.
You know, I'll tell you another thing that people across this country really agree about, which is that our elections should be safe and accessible, because voting is a fundamental right and responsibility. We did a study at the end of last year that found that 83% of Americans express that viewpoint, and that number held pretty steady across party lines, Democrats, Republicans, and independents. And I think your point is really well taken, that, and it applies to our election systems too, that there is a gap between the where people think our country should be in terms of voter access. 83% of Americans thinking that voting should be accessible, right? And where some of our laws and policies are. And I think, look, Wisconsin has seen enormous gains in terms of voter access in the last number of years. The fact that we have, you know, well, you guys have early voting.
You can be one of us, Hannah.
I would love to be. We've worked in Wisconsin for a long time now. And as I mentioned, I had a great time in the state many years back. But anyway, you know, there's also same-day registration, right? I mean, this is, you know, there are many ways in which the state of Wisconsin represents a lot of, you know, sort of small D democratic values, like what it is that people want.
Yes.
But that isn't true across the country. And I think, frankly, when, you know, the legislature tried to, you know, stop the state from having drop boxes and then they were restored by the state Supreme Court, that is where people in Wisconsin are, right? Mm-hmm. That is what people want. And I think that's what we see in state after state where we work, that the laws and policies don't always, but need to reflect what people in this country want, which is to be able to vote when it works for them, because people have two jobs and they got kids and they got elder care responsibilities. And like, people need to be able to go vote. And I think, look, if I can sound kind of a note of hope for where we're going, it is that I think more and more people across this country are drawing a line and they're saying, stop taking this away from us. Mm. Because when officials say, we're not going to certify these elections, when they spout these conspiracy theories, I think what it all boils down to is one thing. And that is, I am taking your vote from you. And that jig is up. Voters are tired of that. And I say they're tired because we've seen them vote down, for example, in Ohio last summer, a policy that would have required Ohioans to have a supermajority before they could change the Constitution. Ohio voters said, absolutely not.
Yes.
We saw that in Georgia when voters went, I mean, literally hundreds of people went to that state election board meeting and said, stop messing with our elections. Stop trying to not certify. These are our votes. This is our right. We see you and stop it. And I think that is so powerful I think we should all take heart that voters are standing up for that. And I, you know, I as an advocate, like this, look, this is my job. I'm committed to this issue. I also take profound inspiration from seeing communities come together in that way to protect their own vote.
Folks, that's Hannah Fried. She is a voting rights and election law expert and the executive director of the nonpartisan voting rights organization, All Voting is Local. Hannah, where can people find out more about your organization?
I'm so glad you asked. You can find us online, allvotingislocal.org, and you can find us on socials at the same.
Wonderful. Of course, everybody, you can watch Hannah and I have this beautiful discussion on YouTube. We also stream on Facebook and X. You can check us out there. If you happen to miss it and you want to catch a repeat, always go to civicmedia.us/Maggie Dawn Show. You can catch my old episodes there. This to me, I mean, this moment that we're in and so much of the harumph and conspiracy theories around elections, the one thing that I had thought and had talked about, probably not so much on air because we were focused on the substance of the election, was my thought that if Donald Trump wins, I want him to win by a margin that doesn't plunge us into more uncertainty, right? Like, let it just be clear. That's an outcome. Now we're gonna move on. And to me, the election apparatus, despite some people getting elected to local election positions that bought into some of this nonsense, that the systems in most of the states were, again, populated and run by people of good faith trying to do the right things. And that was, as you put it, Hannah, demanded by voters that their votes not be taken away. It seems to me to be this very difficult tightrope for anyone who wants to challenge election processes. Because it's hard to say an election was stolen in 2020, but then that same party that would have stolen the election just forgot how to do it in 2024. It doesn't hold a lot of water. Or like with Eric Hovde here, like, oh, we need a recount because of something, which is fine. He's statutorily entitled to get it. But like, do you think Derek Van Orten, Tony Weed, and these other Republican congressmen that won re-election or election for the first time are also like, well, mine must be wrong too. So let's... It doesn't hold from cycle to cycle.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that there's no doubt in my mind that folks who are claiming that our elections cannot be trusted are doing so when there is an outcome that they don't like. And it is just another way, just like efforts to erect barriers to voting, it is just another way to try and get the system to work for you and the political outcome that you want. And that is wrong. It is just plain wrong. And I'm glad you mentioned the recount process, because I think that's one thing that I really want people anywhere in this country to know, which is that our election systems have so many checks and balances. Yes. That ensure every step of the way that you are who you say you are when you register, that you are who you say you are when you vote. And that's something we should all have a lot of confidence in for this cycle and going forward into, well, you guys have elections coming right up in February, don't
we? We sure do. No rest for the weary here in Wisconsin. Big Supreme Court election in April 2025. Folks, we got to get right back on that political horse. My big thanks to you, Hannah. It's been such a pleasure to talk. I hope we get to do this again. Let's stay in touch. Again, that's Hannah Fried. Absolutely. Voting rights and election law expert, executive director of the nonpartisan voting rights organization, All Voting is Local. When we come back, I'm going to make a little pivot. We're going to talk a little bit more about Eric Hovde and the craziness that he's spouting, even though he's admitted on Righty Whitey Radio that he lost and lost bigly. All that coming up right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
It was time to make our own Christmas traditions. For years, we've been trekking to both sets of in-laws, both Christmas dinners. It was just too much. So this year, we started to look for a place to get together in Alexandria, Minnesota. Christmas lights that will light up our kids' faces, a new adventure, create some wonder. It makes us wonder, why didn't we do this sooner?
Start planning your time together in the Lakes area. Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the new staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, yeah. But I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, bye. Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. Man, if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
News from the Center, WRCE.
What's up, everybody? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where we've always got you covered with real news and great conversation. Tell your friends, get the app, watch us on the YouTube, the X, or the Book of Faces. Get engaged, get involved. We're here for all of it. Debates, as long as you follow the three rules of debating with Maggie Dawn, which is do not deflect or dissemble, do not discriminate, and do not spread disinformation. And thus, we will have a great time together. You want to join the conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. By now, we all know that Senate candidate and big Senate loser, Eric Hovde, lost and has now asked for a recount. But he didn't just go ask for the recount, which would have been the respectful and obvious thing to do. He put out a little video trading and just garbage, nothing, which I'm not going to play because I don't want to give air to all that conspiracy theory nonsense. But I do want to play Eric Hovde on a Righty Whitey talk radio station, which will remain unnamed, admitting that he lost. Let us take a listen. Cardi, this is going to be cut one.
I will definitely pick myself up and move on and continue to fight for our wonderful country and state, which is why I got into this whole thing. It's the most painful loss I've ever experienced.
Yeah. Most painful loss. I would expect that a guy like Eric Hovde mostly gets his way, like whatever he puts on his Christmas wish list, Santa generally drops off. He has wanted for very little to nothing in his life. Admit that he lost. Now, a really smart guy who I enjoy following him on the twit, explain, and basically what Eric Hovde circulated was a bunch of nonsense about the fact that it takes the city of Milwaukee longer to count its ballots. Because, duh, they have more of them. I mean, like, how is this a mystery? Another way to explain this is the old red mirage, blue shift, which was very eloquently explained by Robert Reich on X. And I thought, like, hey, Hovde, I know you're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show, And why don't you get yourself some edumacation here? And let's take a listen. This is going to be cut to Robert Reich explaining the Red Mirage and Blue Shift.
There's a dirty Trump trick you need to look out for. He used it in 2020 to try to overturn. He's going to do it again. But it doesn't work if you know it's coming. Watch out for Trump to exploit something elections experts call the Red Mirage, to prematurely declare victory before all the votes are counted. You see, in almost every election, Republicans appear to take an early lead. That's the Red Mirage. Then that lead gets smaller throughout the night, which is called the Blue Shift. This happens because Republican votes tend to be counted before Democratic votes. It's not magic. Votes are counted by precinct, and Democrats tend to live in more densely populated urban precincts, while Republicans tend to live in more sparsely populated rural ones. It just takes longer to count the votes in a precinct with a lot of people than in a precinct with fewer people.
Duh. And then you add in this fact. Republicans in our state government blocked bipartisan legislation that would have permitted, you know, those larger precincts in the city of Milwaukee to start counting early votes or absentee ballots before Election Day, because it takes a damn long time to open every single envelope, verify the registration. Like, you got to go through all this stuff. And because they can't count them until 7 a.m. on Election Day, it just takes a longer time. There are some interesting posts made on the Twit by Republicans about Eric Hovde's nonsense. This is from, again, Republican. This guy's Tommy Thompson's former campaign manager. The Ronald Reagan of Wisconsin, if you will. This guy's name is Bill McCoshin. He said this: our side has to stop saying stupid S word about the turnout last Tuesday. There were more votes for president than there were for U.S. Senate. That's not uncommon. Look it up. Presidential race had 3.4 million votes and the U.S. Senate race had about 3.3. Yep. And the Senate broke for Tammy. Okay. Here's another Republican. He's an election expert and former state representative, Joe Hendrick. He's just the internet is awash with the mathematically challenged claiming fraud in the U.S. Senate election in Wisconsin because of a, quote, late night dump in Milwaukee stole the election from Hovde. This was predicted and well known. The actual Harris gain from the Milwaukee absentees was only 68,154. The Baldwin gain was 70,530. Again, facts matter, at least they should, unless you're Eric Hovde. Ugh, he can take his mustache and go kick rocks for all I am worried about it. Of course, we'll do the recount. He's happy to light his $100 bills on fire, yo. We'll take his money for the recount and nothing will change about the outcome of the election. But I am completely over Mr. Hovde. Let's take a couple of quick callers here. If I can get my mouse up there so I can actually do that. Let's see. Perhaps, Cardi, you can put Jack from Merrimack on. Hey, Jack, go ahead. You're on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Thank you. Yes. First of all, thank you for not playing more of the MAGA lies that Hovde would spout. We've heard plenty of those in the last 9, 10 years since 2015. He's not the one that's been spouting all of them, of course. But anyway, I had an economics question, and I know that's your background and thing.
I love econ questions. Go ahead.
I have read that 10% of our government finances comes from corporate taxes these days. And I have read that in the past, in that golden age when that the mega rhinos won from the 50s and 60s, approximately 30%.
Jack, I got to hop in there. 10% now from corporate taxes, 30% later. I will verify that and get back to y'all. I got to take care of some business. We'll be right back. I'll tell you how I know that Hegseth dude. We know each other. I've got 2 degrees of separation from DJT. You're going to want to hear about it here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Thank you for listening to Maggie and the Millionaires on this Civic Media station. The Patriotic Millionaires are financial supporters through paid advertising on some Civic Media stations.
A lot of people love starting their day with a cup of coffee, but have you thought about how it affects the environment? Ryan Brady, member of Save Our Songbirds, explains how your cup of joe can greatly impact bird populations.
Believe it or not, when you drink a cup of coffee, it can have an impact on these bird populations. So coffee is often grown in Central and South America. Often large swaths of forested habitat are cleared to make coffee that will grow in the sun. Well, that reduces the amount of bird habitat for many of our birds, including things like orioles, maybe even some of our buntings or tanagers, things that we get a lot of joy from during the warmer summer months when we see them here. And so if you can drink shade-grown coffee, coffee that's grown with more trees intact that provides more bird habitat, then you can make a difference for birds.
That's Ryan Brady along with us, steering committee member for Save Our Songbirds. I'll have a look at your closing markets right after this.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Farming is full of up and downs, but with the right tools, you can navigate any cycle. Join Compeer Financial's Grain Vantage webinar on December 4th from 9 to noon. Hear from ag industry pros like me, Rob Sharkey, during this free virtual event. Leave with real-world strategies to help you manage risk and explore opportunities in today's market. Visit compeer.com/grainvantage to sign up. The Grain Vantage webinar, helping you take control of your farm's financial future.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your closing markets. December corn closed at 426.5. That was down 2 cents. January soybeans closed at 10.07¾. That was down 2¾. November 2025 soybeans closed at 10.28¼. That was down 3¼ cents. December wheat closed at 541. That was down 11¼. And the July 2025 wheat closed at 574¼. And that was down 10½ cents. On the dairy side of things, December Class 3 milk contract is trading at 1868 a hundredweight. That is down 33 cents. And January Class 3 milk contract is trading at 1877, down 23 cents. Barrel cheese closed at 168, down a half. 40-pound block cheese closed at 169, down 2¾. And the AA butter closed up 3¼ cents and closed at 263. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy this evening, some breaks in the clouds overnight. A low in the upper 30s. For tomorrow, partly cloudy. A high in the mid-50s. Clouds return for Saturday, a chance of rain Saturday night, then sunshine's back as we look into Sunday. Highs stay in the 50s, currently 51 degrees.
Matt and Air on Air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwabba and I'm an actual Schwabba. So there you go.
No, what is a Schwabba? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Friday morning, Sandy Williams will be back in the studio and we'll have a broad conversation about the outcome of the election and the direction of the future of our nation.
The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 till 10.
I am Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Phone and text lines are open. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. My big thanks to Jack from Merrimack. What a great question. I don't actually know off the top of my head what the current breakdown of U.S. revenues by source is. And I'm going to find that out because that's a really good fact. And we'll talk about that tomorrow. I love it when y'all give me homework assignments. Please do so. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. But I want to, again, get back to these appointees and also the big picture question, which is we can't fight everywhere, everything, all at once, all the time. The royal we, I can't. I'll lose my mind. My brain will be flooded with cortisol constantly, and I'll end up like in a prolonged trauma state. Like, no, thank you. People who care about decency and treating people with respect and kindness and our legal system and preserving democracy. We can't freak out every day. We got to get some kind of strategy. And the flood of appointments and sort of the freaking out that's happening is an example of the kind of tidal waves of nonsense and scary stuff that's going to happen. We got to build our resiliency. We got to look out for one another, especially got to look out for Black and brown folk, for the LGBTQIA community, for our elderly neighbors and friends. So with that in mind, obviously that's one pillar of it. But to me, another pillar of like, how do we decide where to take the fight, where to bring the fight, where to take a stand, has to be based on getting back to first principles, which is about working people, a government that is less corrupt and not more corrupt, that the rule of law should, despite the Supreme Court's delusions, apply to everyone equally, and that we can talk about difficult things like the history of racism and misogyny in this country without losing our minds. We can have those conversations. We have to keep having those conversations. If we don't, that's where the true loss will lie. Now, the question becomes, looking at these appointments, trying to apply this rubric, right? They're like, it's got to matter. Let's be selective. Let's take great care to try to, again, preserve the rule of law, do what is right. To me, the two big pimples on the list of these appointees that need to be excised by a dermatologist are Pete Hegseth and Matt Gaetz. And let me be really clear. Pete Hegseth, he has a storied career in military history. A storied history in the military. He also went to Princeton and Harvard. He's a silver spoon kind of guy. And he was an army infantryman in Iraq and Afghanistan. He was also a member of the Minnesota National Guard. But here's what. Just because you worked on the line doesn't mean that you should be CEO of the company. You know what I'm saying? Like the Secretary of Defense, it is arguably the largest department. I think it probably is in absolute terms. Certainly sucks up an incredible amount of the federal revenues and our annual budgets. Millions of federal employees and every service member. So just because you served doesn't mean you should run it. So what other than that and being a talking head on Fox are Mr. Hegseth's qualification? There are none. here's what his qualifications are. Looks good on TV, and he's said things like this. Let's take a listen to some of these sound cuts. He was on a podcast not too long ago. It's called The Sean Ryan Show, and it was put out last week. I wonder if this pre-recorded podcast timing, its release was timed somehow to coincide with this. We're going to listen to some of the things that he had to say on this podcast. Let's go ahead and start with cut six.
I have women in combat roles. It hasn't made us more effective, hasn't made us more lethal, has made fighting more complicated. We've all
is it maxed out? All right, we're going to kill the sound because I can't hear it, and that means you probably can't either. So he opposes women in combat roles universally. Here's what I have to say about that. For certain jobs in the military, the standards should be the standards. The standards should make sense. They should be position specific. But if a woman can pass the PT standards and can do the job, what the heck is he talking about? Because I'll tell you this, amongst my very large group of friends and acquaintances that I've made over these 47 years on the planet, I'd wager that most of them would rather go to battle with me than many men they know. Would you? I mean, forget my politics. If we had to go stand the post, I'm telling you, this 6 foot tall ex-athlete is probably going to be able to hump your body out better than some 5 foot six lightweight dude. I used to train with ROTC folks when I was at Marquette because I lived with a bunch of them because we got along really well because we were all on scholarship. I was killing those PT tests. So if you can meet the physical fitness standards, you can do the job. I don't know what the guy's talking about. But of course, that appeals to the broverse, right? It appeals to the broverse. So we got that going on. He talked very clearly about the first thing you got to do is fire the head of the Joint Chiefs. Of course he said that, because that's what Donald Trump wants to do. He's just kind of spinning it back. And the chairman of the Joint Chiefs is a guy by the name of General Charles Q. Brown Jr. Some pretty, pretty scary headlines about that. Like, you're just going to... And I don't know enough about the military code of justice. Like, are you demoting or firing? You're just taking off the Joint Chiefs? I don't know. But holy cow. Scary. What else did he say? He went on and, there's also the bit about him not washing his hands, which I think was mostly said in jest when he was on Fox and Friends. Yeah, he said he hasn't washed his hands in like 10 years. He doesn't believe it because he can't see germs. Yep, this is Pete Hegseth. I think most of it was in jest, but why was he making a joke about hand washing? Something that would give most of us the heebie-jeebies? He was making a joke about hand washing in the context of like COVID, right? So it was stupid and likely a joke, but he was saying it to be like, you don't have to worry about those germs and the vid and any of that kind of stuff. No problem. Let's see if this, one of these other cuts will work. Let's see if we can try 12A. This is Hegseth talking about Vladimir Putin. Let's take a listen.
And I've always felt like it was from the beginning, like a couple days in, I'm like, this feels like this is my shoot. Maybe get back war. It kind of feels like I feel like you've been pushing pretty hard, and we used to have the former Soviet Union, and we're pretty proud of that. And Ukraine was a part of it, and all these other countries. And I want my shit back. And I think I'm at the right time where I'm powerful enough to do it.
I don't know if that went out. Sorry about the S word, but we're going to wrap up that clip. So what he goes on to say about Putin is I get it. He just wants his territory back, you know, back to when it was the Soviet Republic. Oh, that's a good guy to be the Secretary of Defense. But all of this, and then we're going to go to the callers, all of this, a little bit of setup, because yours truly tangled with the man who may be our next Secretary of Defense. Yes, Magdon, that is I, was interviewed by Pete Hegseth on Fox and Friends back when I was Corporation Counsel of Milwaukee County. Now, I will let you judge for yourselves. But this lib if you can even call me a liberal anymore. I don't call myself a liberal. I'm a pragmatic centrist, but that's this lib did not get owned. This lib owned the guy from Fox and Friends. This is my 2 degrees of separation from Donald J. Trump, 47th president of the United States. I can't believe that actually is a thing. Here's me getting interviewed by Pete Hegseth back in March of 2018 after I filed suit against the opioid manufacturers and distributors.
Milwaukee is taking on 13 drug companies in the opioid fight. The county's top attorney suing them for the damages from the devastating...
All right, pull it down. We can't take the sound because we can't hear it, and I want you guys to be able to hear it. We're going to work on that for tomorrow because it is funny, and we will have that for you tomorrow. Let's go right on to the phones. Fred, where are you from? And welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What would you like to say?
Fred, Cottage Grove. Regarding the military, you know, if you look back on the statistics in World War II, there's only a certain percentage of people that actually carried guns and fought in the battle. Most of it was support, logistics, all kinds of stuff. And from my military experience, too, there's a lot of stuff that the women could be doing without carrying a gun, because there's a lot of people that don't carry guns in the military, period.
Yep.
So let's balance it out. Let's do it.
Yeah, and I think, Frank, his point was, I don't want to see women in any combat roles. Is your point that, quote, the term combat roles is not specific enough? There, right, and I generally... Like, you can't paint with that broad of a brush. I think if a woman can do the job, no matter what the job is, she can, whether it's SEAL training or whatever it is, if you can get it done, if you can pass those standards, if you can do that job, go ahead. And you wish to serve, like, heck, what we don't need to do is be limiting how people serve within the military. We have a recruitment problem already.
Exactly. And I've hunted with a lot of women, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they're better shots and everything. Forget the sexism. Let's just equal rights for everybody, you know?
Thanks so much, Frank. Appreciate your call. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you're up next, sir. How you doing, and what do you want to say?
Doing okay. I just spent part of the day with a friend who's taking care of her 101-year-old World War II D-Day veteran father who's passing away. And she's a woman I dated 36 years ago, and she taught me by a good inch, and we had no problems with all that, because she could have probably kicked my ass at the 150 pounds with 5% body fat. But I mean, that it is just ridiculous for this Hegseth guy. Gary, I'd ask you to do your homework on both Matt Gaetz and Hegseth, that to see that Hegseth is a serial adulterer. Cheated on his first wife, had an affair, married that woman, then cheated on that one, and then married a coworker at Fox from Fox News or whatever it was. That's the kind of guy you think he's an all right guy. I mean, what, Gary? You have got a daughter, and how would you react if she told you that her husband had been cheating on her and had gotten the woman he had been cheating with, got that woman pregnant, and was divorcing her? How would you feel about that, Gary? I mean, that character is supposed to mean something. And for a guy that do that, is just means a complete lack of character. And for Matt Gaetz, I've heard about Matt Gaetz's crime since 2020.
Yeah.
He had ethics complaints about him. I mean, that for Gary to not be, where's your head been, brother, and to not hear about this?
Yeah, it's the Gaetz scandal has been around for quite some time, and its details are disturbing. And there was the actual criminal investigation. But what I would ask Gary to take a look at are the volume of fellow conservatives who went on the record to talk about the fact that Matt Gaetz showed them pornography on the floor of the House of Representatives. Like, why is that okay? We also are seeing reports that one of his former Republican colleagues from Florida also talked and is now talking publicly about the fact that he basically came up with a game where, like, sexual conquest would be awarded points. I don't know about you, but I don't need a guy that acts like a 13-year-old boy as the freaking attorney general. I don't care what his policies are. I don't care what party he belongs to. We come back. We're going to turn the page. I'm going to share a little bit of good news and some weird news with y'all. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
They produced yacht rock hits that defined an era. It's Ambrosia.
Your biggest part of me.
With special guest John Ford Coley. October 12th at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Tickets on sale now through Ticketmaster. Soft rock that rocked the yacht. It's Ambrosia and John Ford Coley. October 12th at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Must be 21 to attend concert.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
State Senator-elect Jody Habesh-Sinikin. What's the best way, do you think, it is to approach a difference in not just opinion, but in what we perceive as facts with those that may not be aware or don't agree with it?
First, having a conversation. Try to get an understanding of what is really bothering them and try to offer solutions at the state level or at the local level where there can be progress.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
If you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. You can do it in your car.
Please not while you're driving.
I would say preferably not driving. Just take a moment and close your eyes and just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
Everybody, I can't believe it. We're here. It's the last segment of the day, but don't worry. Dom Salvia is coming up next. You can catch Dom after my show every day, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where we are all about real news and great conversation. Hey, did you want some Civic Media merch? I do. I love me a good graphic t-shirt. I know Dom does too, especially in the slimming black. You can go to the Civic Media website, click on the store button in the upper right-hand corner, go ahead and get you some Civic swag or swag from WAUK, which is the station that I broadcast out of. Get some AUK swag, little 540 AM Southeastern Wisconsin, but whatever your local favorite Civic Media station is, you can check it out there. You can also listen to me on the Civic Media app. You can choose WAUK as your home radio station, no matter where you live in the state or the country, and check me out every day. You can take Maggie along with you in your pocket, not just my little buddy, Dom Salvia. But I promised you all some good news and then some weird news. And I hope I can fulfill that promise in spades. First, the good news, because the weird news, it needs some building up to. Here, there are two bits of good news. The first bit of good news is that the Supreme Court slapped down former Trump chief of staff Mark Meadows' attempt to take his Georgia criminal case out of state court and into federal court. Which, of course, Mr. Meadows' ultimate objective was to try to kill it because Trump-friendly judges or Trump-appointed judges in the federal court system would eventually squash his case. It also was tied up with his claims of potential immunity from prosecution. And the fact, again, that the Supreme Court rejected his plea to move it into the federal court system is pretty interesting. His claim for immunity was based on his claim that he was acting as a federal officer. Now, of course, does this sound a little like the Trump immunity? Yep, sure does. And that's kind of how he was trying to set this up. But of course, this hit a wee bit of a dead end, because the facts that gave rise to these criminal charges weren't related to Mark Meadows' official duties at all. So that doesn't really work so well. So, ladies and gentlemen, whenever that Georgia case finally might be going back to court, Mark Meadows will still be in the defendant's chair. Oh, by the way, another bit of good news. District Attorney Fani Willis, she won re-election last week as well. So she ain't going anywhere. She may be going there very much so. I was like seeing a black woman leading this prosecution. I don't know. It has a little bit of a je ne sais quoi to the whole thing. Those are two bits of good news. Another bit of good news and hopefully a little chuckle. Alex Jones's site, InfoWars, was bought by The Onion. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that satirical newspaper birthed out of Wisconsin, The Onion, has bought Alex Jones's site, InfoWars. And they bought it out of bankruptcy because Alex Jones is bankrupt. Now, interestingly enough to note, The Onion purchase was sanctioned by the families of the victims of the mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School, who won a $1.4 billion defamation lawsuit against Mr. Jones and his company, Free Speech Systems. So stay tuned. Watch this space. I'm going to be interested to see what they decide to do with all that. I got to take up one of our texters who's commenting on what I was just talking about women in combat. This is one of my frequent texters from the 608. Very offended, or at least acting like they're offended, because I said that many people, all else being equal, might want to go into battle with me, a 6-foot-tall former college athlete who spent her life in sports and working out, than a skinny, shorter man at like 5'6". Why is that offensive if the Secretary of Defense or the wannabe Secretary of Defense is saying women can't serve ever in combat? He's making that argument on the basis, we'll listen to the cut tomorrow, hopefully. He makes that argument based on physical capabilities of women. And I'm just pointing out some women are extraordinarily tall and strong, and some men are unusually short and not strong. That the gender part of it is what is offensive, instead of making about whether or not someone can actually do the job. Our texter's calling me a little bit of a hypocrite, and I say, no, I'm pointing out the absurdity of these kinds of statements by making clear that it is about the individual and not about our identity categories. I'm betting that's probably a short dude. Sorry. I've dated short men before. I just don't prefer to date them. Next up, here's the weird news that I wanted to share with you all. Man found living in crawl space of Los Angeles home. I kid you not. You say what? Yes, found living in the crawl space of an LA home. The woman who owned it, 92-year-old woman, who had been hearing strange noises in her house, assumed they were caused by animals. Folks, you hear a strange noise in your attic that it persists, or in your crawl space, you might want to send a friend to go check that out, because it just might be someone, you know, hanging out.
Or Hovde.
Or Eric Hovde, because he actually doesn't live here. In May, by the way, a woman was found living in the rooftop sign of a grocery store in Michigan, which she had outfitted with flooring, a Keurig coffee maker, and a computer. She had been living there about a year. I mean, what? Everybody, we got to wrap it up. I'll be back tomorrow. I'm Maggie Dawn. I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But always remember.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a little more recombobulating with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. We'll wrap up the show with a Friday This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santel. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.